Every one of you. We love you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Love you all very much. And how many are thankful for the greatest Father, come on, that we have in heaven? Come on, can we give him a hand, everybody? Amen. Come on, he deserves it. He deserves it. There's no doubt about it. Love you, and thank you, babe, so much. And a great happy Father's Day to all the men. Come on, all the dads, the stepdads, the granddads, the uncles, the spiritual dads. Come on, everybody. Happy Father's Day. We're thankful for all the men. Amen? Amen, everybody. And so this morning, I want to say, even though my dad's not in this service, but my dad, for those that don't know, typically makes the drive up from Kokomo, and almost weekly. He's taken a few little vacations here. He's allowed that. But he makes the drive up and from Kokomo. That's about 3 hours in a day, everybody. So you ain't got no excuse, all right? And so, but he does. And that's a reality for my dad. And I love him. Dad, if you're listening, happy Father's Day to you. And one thing about my father, he has always believed and just pushed me and encouraged me to go forward. And so I'm just so thankful for him. My stepdad, Kent, as well, who is just an amazing example as well of the love of God that is an encourager to our family. And so I honor him today as well. I'm very, very thankful. Amen. So ladies, take good care of the guys today. Amen, everybody. And so take good care of them. And guys, I want to let you know for all the men. Everybody say all the men. Right after service outside, there's a tent that's set up. We got something for all the men in the house, so please make sure you stop by the tent. We just got something we want to bless you with, just a way for us just celebrating you today, and so make sure you stop outside before you head out here and just believe in God for a wonderful day for you. Just before we get into the message this morning, I want to just encourage you, man, if you missed last week, boy, you missed last week. And I'm not just saying that to sound cute up here this morning about a message or anything. I really do believe last week was a very significant day for this church. I believe in what God is doing and what God is saying. And you say, man, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, I'm just telling you that, man, the presence of God was powerful. And we have had more feedback. More of you have written emails and texts and social media. We've just heard from so many just from last Sunday. And God did something very powerful and very tangible in this place. And so, and I want to just encourage you also, if you missed the message at all, please make sure you get on the app, get online, get the message, get your pen ready. I just really felt one of the things, and this only happens a few times a year, where I feel like God just kind of gives me something specific for us as a church and us as his people, and especially direction and for where we're going. And so I just want to encourage you to make sure you listen to that message, because it's for you and it's for me. And so God had a lot to say to us last week. So I just want to encourage everybody to check that out. But I want to say this too. Your level of expectation will always determine what you get back. And let me tell you why I'm very proud of you and just what's happening. And, you know, we're a church of 5 years now, and I've just watched over the last 5 years as God has taken us through different seasons. I believe we are taking an incredible turn. And I believe what is happening in this place is a people that is becoming more desperate for God, who are growing in the things of God, which is what should be happening. Come on, somebody say amen. And growth and just spiritual hunger and fervor to desire more of God. And so it's not just about what happens on a Sunday. How many know it's just as important of what happens through the week? And so through small groups and ministry that's taking place. But I'm just telling you, when a bunch of God's people comes together in one place and sets the atmosphere of expectancy for God to do something, and we just invite him, as we've been talking so much in the last few weeks, where God is invited, everybody, he will show up. But for some, we've talked so much that God is just waiting on an invitation. And I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, not only in my life, but in this church, he is invited in this place. Come on, somebody say amen in the house. And so I'm encouraging you to stay hungry for God. You know, we've talked so much about coming into this summer in the midst of vacationing and doing that well, and we need that. But in the midst of it, not going on a spiritual vacation as well. Come on, somebody. And so it's just staying focused and staying in alignment with what God is doing. And so I just wanted to encourage you with that, and I just want you to know I'm very expectant and very, my spirit is stirring. It's just been, man, just, I really can't put it into words. I've been trying to tell Bethany just what I've been feeling. So all I can encourage you is to continue. Let's lean into our relationship with the Lord and let's go after him with everything within us. Amen? Amen. Wasn't worship powerful this morning as well, everybody? Amen. And so I want to talk to you today. I've got a Father's Day message, and I'm not always kind of a holiday kind of preacher, so to speak, but I did have something today that I wanted to challenge us men with. And ladies, I think you'll get something out of this too, so I don't want you to check out on me as I say that. But I want to talk to you about a man in the Bible whose name was Samson. Everybody say Samson. Samson was probably one of the most frustrating characters you'll ever read about in Scripture. He was called from birth. God had a supernatural strength that he gave to him. I mean, if you read his story in his life, you'll see the kind of strength that he had. And he was set apart to do something incredible for God, to bring and deliver the Israelites out of the hands of the Philistines. And so I want to read this scripture and just kind of open this up, because as I was just looking at the message this week, I really thought this scripture really depicts the life of Samson well. And it's just a short verse. I'd love for you to help me read it this morning, if you would. Here we go, Proverbs 24:16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. Okay, say it like you mean it now. For though the righteous fall seven times, there you go, they rise again. I love that verse because it's just a reminder for you and I that there's times that we're going to fall. There's times that we're going to trip up. But even in the midst of our tripping and even in the midst of our mess ups, that we are called to rise again. Amen, everybody? And so I'm so appreciative to a God that understands that we're going to have these mess ups in life. But although we do that, we don't have to stay down, but we're getting back up. Amen? And so Samson had an incredible call on his life. Incredible strength, literally strength to his life, but he had a dangerously weak will that cost him and got him in a ton of trouble. And it just seemed, if you read the story of Samson, that he just messed up again and again and again. He broke his vow with God. He chased after women he wasn't supposed to chase after. He was touching things that he should have never touched. He drank things that he was never supposed to drink. He got a haircut that he was never supposed to get and ended up badly for him. How many ever been at the beautician, come on ladies, and got a bad haircut? And I know some of y'all ladies enough to know that that's the last time I visit you, all right? We're going to find me a new beautician after today, right? Girl, you know, calling my hair wrong or it wasn't cut like I wanted. You know what I'm saying? For us guys, we're just like, okay, you know what I mean? It's just so, but he did. But that was Samson, and got a haircut he was never supposed to get. And I think the thing that I see about Samson that's interesting to me, and I think which is dangerous for you and I, that he was a man, and I think you can be a man or a woman and have this struggle if you're not careful, that he was emotionally led and not spirit-driven. He was led by his emotions rather than being led by his spirit oftentimes. And I will tell you, to be a person that's led oftentimes by your emotions, it will get you in big time trouble. When you make decisions that are based on a feeling, when you make decisions based on an emotion, I truly believe it can be very costly if you're not careful. That's why being spirit-led, that's why any decision that I even have personally make in my life, I make sure even though my emotions want to react to something, I always try to do my best to lean in as I'm just growing in my relationship with God. I'm not saying I'm quite all there, but I just believe that I'm on the path of just continuing to trust God and be spirit-led in everything that we do. Can you say amen? And so here's what I know, that most men don't ruin their lives at once, but one step at a time. Samson was called to be delivering God's people from the hands of the Philistines. But now, because we're in the latter part of his life, which is where we're going to kind of pick up the story, he's in prison now, in mistake, kind of after mistake. And it got so bad, I'm bringing just a little bit up here, fellas, all right? It got so bad that his eyes, the Bible talks about that his eyes were even gouged out. And here's how the Philistines did it back in the day. This is pretty graphic. Like, that's why I'm telling you, your Bible is just so full of drama, that they burned his eyes out. And then after they burned his eyes out, they dug out the remains of his eyes. And so it was just his sockets. And, I mean, how many know that's pretty gruesome? Say thank you for sharing that this morning, Pastor, right? And so, but here he is in a place where he can't see. He's made all these mistakes, all this troublesome waters that he seems to have been in, and now he's in shackles, he's in chains. And now the people who have captured him are making fun of him, calling him names. You so strong, where yet now? Stuck in prison under our control. And I think the condition raises a question that I want to propose to you this morning, and that is, what do you do when you feel like you've blown it? What's your response? What do you do when you feel like you've blown it? What do you do? And what do you do if you feel like you have wasted years of your life? Because how many know you can't get that time back? You can't go and redo it. Right, everybody? And so some of those situations, although we would like to redo them, hindsight's always 20/20, but we can't. And the problem, I think, for us as men oftentimes is this type of failure we take very, very personally in our life. You know, it's interesting that men and women find their value in different things. For a lot of women, they found value in relationships. Relationships are something that are important. You know, are we still BFFs, girl? Like, where we at? Like, what's happening? You know, and you'll see even girls, like, go to the bathroom together. Like, how many know that's some deep relationship right there? You know, I've seen it happen. I still don't understand it to this day. Still trying to figure out, you ladies, and how that's, why that's so important, but whatever. And for men, we're in a place that we like to be liked, but it's not everything to us. We get value from our accomplishments. We get value from, man, did we win? You know, and did we conquer? Did, you know, did we come through? Did we complete the task? No guy has ever said, will you come to the bathroom with me? I'm just saying. And just, there's like this unspoken rule. I know the ladies probably have no idea about this, so let me educate you for a minute. Like, there's this unspoken rule as men in the bathroom. Like, we don't talk much. Like, and you always keep your eyes up. Like, it's all, you never do one of these. I mean, like, you never, you know what I mean? Like, you keep your eyes up, you're looking at the wall, all right? And if your eyes go anywhere else, you just kind of lose your man card. I'm just telling you, that's the way it rolls with us men, all right? For men, it's not about do you like me, but it's about do you respect me. Jot this down if you're following along in our notes this morning. A man's greatest fear is failure, and greatest pain is regret. When we don't live up to the expectations maybe of ourselves, or we don't live up to the expectations from other people, then we take it personal, and it's hard, and we feel this regret. For some, it's maybe the career that he feels that is beneath him. He's living paycheck to paycheck. He's watching his buddies succeed and maybe do more than he ever did, and he feels like a failure because of it. Maybe it's the guy that regrets not marrying after time and some years have gone by. Maybe it's in the place that, man, I wish I wasn't such a selfish jerk. Man, I wish I would have taken better care of her. Or, you know, it even could be the guy that knows that his marriage is pathetic. The marriage isn't good. He knows it. His wife knows it. But he's not man enough really to do anything about it. Sometimes it's not the outward failure that affects us. Oftentimes it's the inward failure that we feel that really tries to tear us down. And I think that we have to be careful of that because it's the thing that nobody else sees. I think it's easy for us to come in and, man, just kind of put on the face that everything's going to be okay. You know, we've just dreamed of a church that where you don't have to put on any kind of mask, that if you got a struggle, man, we got people that are going to pray with you, do life with you, come alongside you, and you don't have to kind of fake it till you make it. I hate that saying, by the way. I just think it's ridiculous. But anyways, I'm just telling you, like, there's help, and it's a promise sometimes even that we, as men, that we struggle with. Like, we made a promise to ourselves or to God, man, I'm never going to do this again. And then we find ourselves on Thursday going back and doing the same thing that we vowed not to do. And then the enemy manipulates that and reminds us and tries to tell us how bad we are or what a failure we are because here we are again. And as I said the other week, man, we're not going to come in agreement with the lies of the enemy in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? Psalm 37, such a great verse. I'm going to just take my time with for a second. It says, the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Watch this. Though they stumble, they will never fall. For the Lord holds them by the hand. Now, I'm going to kind of reread this verse. I'm going to start back on the top because I want you to see something. It says this, and I think this is so cool about your God, the God that we serve, that he is so interested in every detail of our life. Aren't you thankful that you are in relationship? Everybody say relationship. Because it's not about coming, you know, coming to church, joining to church, or doing something religious. It's about coming into a personal relationship with Christ. Amen? And when you do that, God says, I'm interested. Think about this, big or small, in every detail of your life. There's nothing too small, nor is there anything too big that your God is not interested in. That excites me to know that he's not just some big God up there somewhere sitting on a cloud looking at us, but he's directly involved with our needs and everything that's going on. And he said, hey, I want you to know I'm interested in every detail of your life. Like there's nothing God is saying that I'm not interested in. When it comes to you, I want you to know that he's interested. When it comes to you, that he wants that attention. That's why he wants us to come to him. That's why he wants us to invite him in every detail, come on, of our lives. And he goes on to say, though they stumble, and I think it's so cool, we have a God who is fully God, yet fully man, that understands, again, as we read the scripture just a few minutes ago, that we're going to have times we fall, times that we stumble. But I love this reminder that God says, hey, but you're, as long as you're in relationship with me, you're not going to fall because I'm with you to hold you by the hand. God is saying, I've made a promise. When you stepped into a relationship with me, no matter what relationships have walked out of your life, God says, I'm never leaving your side. No matter what you've experienced on the earth, God's saying, that's not me. My love is unconditional, and I'm going to stay with you every step of the way. I'm not leaving your side. I've promised you I'll never leave you or forsake you. How many are thankful for that promise? Amen. So he holds them by the hand. And this ultimately is Samson's story. He's, I think, teaching us an important principle that you and I got to embrace in our life. And it's the principle that just because you failed at something does not mean that you're a failure. I'm going to say it again. Just because you have failed at something does not mean that you're a failure. I want you to jot this next note down, that a failure is an event, never a person. Somebody needs to hear that today. A failure is an event, but never a person. It's not going to define you. The devil has tried to tell you that. People have tried to remind you of that too. But it's not who you are. It's not going to determine the course of your life and going forward in Jesus' name. Thank God for our yesterdays being taken care of under the blood of Jesus Christ and the price he paid for. Come on, somebody. How many are thankful for the blood that he shed? Amen? And so we see in Samson's life a man that who failed. I mean, you read the story, it's just amazing. Like this guy just again and again and again. And some of us kind of feel like this has been us. I know what it's like to feel this way too. It's like, God, again, just messing up. And when it looks like he failed too much for God to ever love, to ever use him, we will see a God who accomplishes his purpose through a man who repeatedly could not get it right. Thank God for mercy. Thank God for grace, because hadn't it not been for his grace today on us, ain't none of us would be here today. Thank God that he alone is God and not people. we read that scripture last week. Thank God that we fall in the hands of God and not in the hands of people. And I'm just here to let somebody know this morning, I've got some good news for you. Are you ready for it? That just because you may be down today does not mean you're out. Just because there's a struggle, there's a battle, come on, does not mean that you are out of this thing. And so today, this is about you moving forward in what God has for you. Men and women, young people, doesn't matter that God is saying, hey, just because you feel like you're down, you're not out of this thing. You're not out. And I'm present and I'm here. If you failed at something, you're not a failure. Failure is an event, never a person. Somebody say amen. So let's look at this scripture in Judges. Let's pick it up here. Again, this is towards the end of his life now in his journey. Verse 23, Judges 16. Says, the Philistine rulers had a great festival offering sacrifices and praising their god, Dagon. He said, our God has given us victory over our enemy, Samson. When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, our God has delivered our enemy to us, the one who killed so many of us. I highlight that for a reason. I'm going to tell you why in just a second. The one who killed so many of us is now in our power. So the Philistines are bragging, getting braggadocious because now they've got Samson, because Samson has caused so much havoc. Samson was in a place, if you read your Bible in chapter 15, you'll see a pretty amazing chapter of his life. The Bible says, now this is like I want Samson on my team, man. Like the way this guy thinks is pretty awesome. He gets 300 foxes together, the Bible says. He ties their tails together. This is in your Bible. And when he ties the tails together, he within that tying of the tails, he puts a torch of fire. He sends all 300 foxes into the fields of the Philistines and just wipes out their crops and their land. I mean, oh, that's kind of cool. I take that. You know what I'm saying? And then he got so big and bad, something else cool happened in that 15th chapter. The Bible said that he took the jawbone of a donkey, all right, and killed 1,000 men with it. Like, let's go. Like, Samson's in beast mode. Like, how many of y'all want Samson on your team? How many of y'all want Samson to be your bodyguard? Yes, come on. Raise somebody up, Lord. All right, you know? And it goes on to say that they're half drunk by now, the people, the Philistines. The people demanded, they said, bring out Samson, listen to him. Bring him out to amuse us, to entertain us. And so he was brought from the prison to amuse them because everything that he had done and that he had cost, and now they're making fun of him and they're saying things to him. And I want you to just kind of get this picture of what's going on. So where this temple is kind of like what our Colosseum would be. Thousands of people are here. They're gathered. You'll see in a moment here, we'll read another scripture where they're on the roof. There's thousands of people. They gather there to worship Dagon and then to be entertained by Samson. And that god Dagon is kind of funny. It's a man-fish god is what it is. It's got a man's head and a fish body. So a man-fish god. How many are thankful we don't worship a man-fish god? Amen, everybody. Lord have mercy. So I think there's two responses to failure. Number one is this. The natural response to failure is remorse. And unfortunately, this is where a lot of men stop. We feel bad about it. So, man, yeah, I should do that. I feel bad. I mean, I shouldn't have done that. I feel bad about it. Remorse is feeling bad about what we did, but sometimes remorse can turn inward. Man, I'm a failure. I have no future. Man, I hate my life. And other times it even can turn outward. And sometimes this is not just a man problem, everybody. This is things that we all can go through, that it turns outward. We start blaming people. Well, if it wasn't for you, or if they hadn't did this. And so it starts to go misplaced because of the inner turmoil that's going on within our hearts and our life. But I believe the better response is repentance. Everybody say repentance. Repentance. Come on, say repentance. Repentance. The Bible says in Acts 3:19, it says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. Now, here's what I think is interesting about this verse. Is that when I turn to God with my issue and my struggle, you've got a God who is so in love with you that he says, hey, not only will your sins be wiped out, but I'm going to send times of refreshing and encouragement. Here's why. Because your God realizes the struggle that we have when we make mistakes and when we stumble. He realizes there's a devil that wants to capitalize on your weakness and on that thing that you messed up with. Mistakes are only a failure when you don't learn from them. So the key is learn. The key is go on the journey of learning everything that you and I possibly can from the Lord. But I love God so much that by his Holy Spirit in those moments when we made the mistake, that instead of having a God who condemns us, we got a God who loves us. And he says, oh yeah, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit to bring refreshing to you right now. And you've repented, and I'm going to break this down to really what repent means. And I want to talk about this because I wanted to take a couple minutes on this. It's just saying I own it. It's my fault. I own this. I'm going to take responsibility. And repenting is turning away from that which is wrong and turning away to that which is right. And so here's what remorse does. And this is why people could just get stuck. They just feel bad about it, but don't ever do anything about it. Repentance turns from the lower ways to God's higher ways. So it says, I'm going to turn my back and I'm going to turn towards God to pursue him. Because this thing that has tried to, it's not staying with me. It's not going to define me. I'm going to turn towards God and continue to run to him. There are just some things, as you know, you can't undo in your life. Things that you can't undo. How many ever been on a group text before? How many know if you ain't careful, you can't undo some of them texts? A while back, I'm married, by the way, and so Bethy and I, we have some spicy texts. I call them hot texts sometimes. And your pastor was having that, and she sends a lot to me, by the way. She really does. And love you. Anyway, and so it was a while back. Man, it may have been a year or 2 years ago. I was on a group text with some of my guy friends, and her and I were texting. It was spicy. It was good. Couldn't wait to get home. And remember, I'm married. All right, we can do that. And I was responding to her, but I didn't pay attention, and I responded to the boys. And I was thankful it was the boys, though. I was like, guys, I'm sorry, but I'm not. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this is the way I roll. You know what I mean? But I was cringing. Oh, my gosh, I was cringing. I'm just saying, there's some things you can't unsend. There's some things you can't unsend. Right? And so the Bible says this in 1 Peter. This is a scripture that God just, this week, as I was just praying, I mean, this is something the Holy Spirit has been talking to me about. And it says this, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy for I am holy. Leave that up there for a minute. And I was just praying this week. I just thought, man, and I just felt like I heard the Holy Spirit just remind us that God is calling us to a place of holiness. We're not called to look like the rest of the world. Because the rest of the world, the way it's functioning is normal. It's not working. So I want to be weird, all right? I want to be set apart because I'm not trying to become like the world. I want to become more like Jesus. And so if we're going to become more like Jesus, our words and our actions need to match. Come on, somebody. And we need to go after that which God has placed in front of us and not look back and pursue holy. You and I serve a holy God. That word holy in the Greek literally means just to be set apart. God doesn't want us looking and smelling like everything and everybody else. You're an original. He's got a call for your and I's life. Amen, everybody? And I believe this, that you can fulfill the commands of God better. Hear me very clearly. By being in love with him than just trying to obey him. In other words, I'm not saying not to obey. I'm just saying there's a better way. And here's what I mean by that. There's a difference between I want to do something versus I have to do something. And so oftentimes when we look at scripture and we're reading commandments and things that God's saying, we're thinking, man, I've got to do that too. Need to go to church on Sunday. Need to grow my... Well, if that's your attitude, that's the way it's going to be. And some of us, here's why we get stuck in temptations. Are you ready for this? This is why we get stuck and why we feel like we take three steps forward and then we take three steps back. It's because temptations are not a test of your self-control. It's a test of your relationship with God. I'm going to say it again. Temptations are not a test of your self-control. It's a test of your relationship with God. Let me prove it to you this way. Other women aren't attractive to me when I'm in love with Bethany. But if something gets in the way of my relationship with my love, my eyes could start to wonder. Come on, am I talking to anybody here that's understanding what I'm talking about? And so when something comes between your relationship with your love, between your father, then how many know that our eyes and the distractions of life will hit us? But when you love me, Jesus is saying this, that we're called to be set apart and growing closer to him, choosing to grow in our relationship with him. John 14, 15 says it this way, if you love me, you will obey what I command. We can't be holy on our own. God's already provided that. We're not righteous on our own. We're righteous in God. To be righteous means to be in right standing with God. Now, that scripture is powerful because you can look at it one or two ways. If you love me, you'll do what I command. Or here's how God is saying it. But if you love me, man, you'll just do what I tell you. And it's not a burden. It's because, God, I'm in love with you. And I want to please you. I want to grow in my relationship with you. I want to go further than I've been. If you love me, Jesus is saying, man, you'll be intentional about your growth. You want to be a part of advancing the kingdom, growing your faith and growing yourself in the things of the Lord. Anybody here this morning? Repentance says, I'm not going to allow. This is the other side of repentance. I want to say very quickly, I'm not going to allow what I did to stop me from God's will. I cannot change my past, but I can change my future. And my past will never define me. So I'm telling you, don't internalize your failure because you are not what you did. You are not what you did. Verse 25, same chapter, it says, and then they stood Samson between the pillars supporting the roof. Samson said to the young servant who was leading him by the hand, place my hands against the pillars that hold up the temple. I want to rest against them. Now the temple was completely filled with people. All the Philistine rulers there were about 3,000 men and women on the roof who were watching as Samson amused them. And Samson prayed to the Lord, watch Samson. And probably one of the most humiliating moments of his life, he said, Sovereign Lord, remember me again. Oh God, please strengthen me. Just one more time. In other words, he's saying, God, I know I've blown it more than 1,000 times. I've messed up a lot. But God, would you find it in your mercy again to please give me another opportunity, another chance. With one blow, let me pay back the Philistines for the loss of my two eyes. There was some moment within Samson's heart that he was broken. But there was a moment that he had where he realized that this is no longer about me. This is about whatever God wants for my life. There was a moment for Samson that he crossed over a spiritual line and said, enough's enough. That past and those things behind me no longer are defining me today. I'm making a new decision for my life, and it's for good. And I think it's powerful. At his lowest point, he had a very private moment in the midst of thousands of people, a moment with his God. Jot this down. Even in our failures, God can still accomplish his purposes. What was God's purpose for Samson? That he would help deliver God's people. Judges 16, here we go, verse 29. Check this out. You got to imagine, kind of use your imagination this morning. Then Samson, he put his hands on the two center pillars that held up the temple. He's a bad dude. I told you at the beginning of the message. God gave him supernatural strength, pushing against them with both hands. He prayed, let me die with the Philistines. I mean, no, that's a pretty audacious prayer to pray, pretty radical. Think about how selfless that is. And the temple crashed down on the Philistine rulers and all the people. So look at this. So he killed more people when he died than he did during his entire lifetime. He wiped out the enemies more when he died than when he was even alive. Even in your failures, God can still use you. I'm here to debunk the lies in the midst of the devil and his voice and of people in your life. Your failures do not determine who you are. That is not you. That is not your name. That is not your title. You are not what you did. You are who God says you are. Men, listen to me. If you ain't dead, you ain't done. Men, I want a little better amen. If you ain't dead, you ain't done. Come on, fellas, talk to me in here. There we go. Ladies, if you ain't dead, you ain't done. If you're a Christian, follower of Jesus, you need to remember, you have the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead on the inside of you. That's why we sing that song, Undefeated One. He doesn't know what a loss is. So you don't know what a loss is. You serve a God who's undefeated. God isn't finished. Everybody say this. Say, it's time. Come on, say, it's time to push down some pillars. Come on, it's time to push down some pillars. So here's my question. It's in your notes. What pillars need to come down in your life? What are some of the pillars that are in your life that need to come down? I want you to get real simple, because men are simple. Like when Bethany sends me to the store or to grab a bite to eat, I come home and I forget. So when I go out now, I say, baby, you're gonna have to text me, write it down, because I'm simple. I'm simple. It's a joke. All right, I thought it was funny, but anyway. But write it down. For some of you, you feel alone. Say, man, Pastor, I just feel like I messed too much, messed up way too much. I'm addicted. It's time to push down some pillars. Are you hearing me? You can't say I want things to be different, but you don't do anything different. You've got to get some radical in your steps and say, no, enough's enough. I'm pushing down some pillars. Pillars are coming down in Jesus' name in my life. For somebody maybe getting the counseling for the first time, I'll be very bold to tell you, I'm glad to have a counselor in this city who counsels me. A dear friend that doesn't know anybody, doesn't know you. A man knows me now. For some, it may be that place. For some, it may be time to get honest with your wife. Maybe time to get honest with your husband. Maybe time to get some godly friends and to iron sharpen iron. For somebody, you're going to stop being an every once in a while church attender. You're going to be a real man of God. You're going to get up and get your family up and get in church and start serving and being a part of what God's doing in the earth. Called to be on the front lines, not in the sidelines. It's what Samson did was right. He pushed down the pillars and he died. But can I tell you something? It was incredibly easy too. And all of us, here's what I mean by that. There's a dormant hero in all of us men. If an attacker comes in your house, like, we don't care. If I'm up in my skinnies and my boxers and I gotta lay my life down for my family, guess what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna do it. But it's easy to die once. But real men of God who live their lives die daily. It's time to push down pillars. I just want you to know, man, I believe in you all so much. I believe the potential that's in this church. I believe in every man and woman that's here, every young person, every child that's being taught. I just believe there's more to this journey than what we've seen. And as your pastor, I'm desperate for it. I'm gonna challenge you at times, gonna encourage you, gonna love you. I'm just telling you, for some of us even here today, man, what are you waiting on? What are you waiting on? God said, I want to help you push down pillars. I want to use you to do something incredible. For some of us, God's been talking to you. It's time to start that ministry. It's time to help start that small group. You know, the thing I love about this church is, man, we're just pregnant with vision. I mean, so much vision. I mean, we don't hurt for vision here. There's so many things that we want to do. I love it. I love being around and surrounded with people who want to do great things for God. I love being in a place where there's a bunch of men and women who are desperate and saying, no, we want more of God because we see the needs in our city, we see the needs in our nation, and we see the needs in our world. So we realize we can't just put our butt on a pew, but we got to get in the game and do something and make some change. And I'm preaching good. And I'm just encouraging you. Go all in. Micah 7:8 says, though I have fallen, I will rise. I'm going to pray here after this. Though I sit in darkness, the Lord will be my light. You may have fallen, but today you're rising. Come on, you ain't what you did. Come on, you ain't what you did. I know it's horrible English, but it's good preaching. You ain't what you did. You are who God says you are. The world is yet to see what God can do through one man wholly surrendered to him. Let's do it. Man, let's be that man. Let's be that man. Close your eyes where you're at. I want to pray for you. Let's be that man, guys. Let's be it. I said, well, Pastor, you just don't know. Like, I've messed up. For some, the enemy continues to remind us of how much we messed up. Satan even tells me oftentimes, not qualified. You ain't qualified to be a pastor. Who you think you are? We've had remorse, but it's time to repent and turn to God. It's time to say, God, it's not about me. I want to be that man that you've called me to be. We have a saying that we've said around here a lot, but it's never too late to become what you might have been. So, Father, right now, in your presence, I pray for every single person. Lord, I speak life over every person here today. Lord, every man, every woman, every young person. God, that we would be a people that our struggles are not a defining of who we are, but that this morning we recognize as we repent of our sins, that we get to turn to a loving, graceful God who said in the midst of our dealings and our repentance that, Lord, you said you would bring times of refreshing over us. So let the refreshing of your spirit come upon every person right now. God, may we know today that you are not far, but you are near in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you right now that you are more than able to come in and to step in any situation. For some of us, I just encourage you right now, just say this, something like this. Just say, Lord, I invite you in my life. Yeah, that's it, church. Just invite him in. Say, God, I need help. I invite you in my family. I invite you on the job. I invite you in my marriage. I invite you just in my personal walk because I realize I can't do this without you. So in Jesus' name, Father, I thank you for the help of the Holy Spirit right now for every single person in life. God, we just look to you and we love you and we honor you, God. If you're here this morning, come on, just stay in this moment of prayer. Head bows, eyes closed just for this last minute or two here. And you realize, man, I need to turn. I need to, Pastor, you're talking to me. I need to turn from those things and I need to run to Christ today. I need to put Jesus in the center of my life. And I need him. Christ died for you, paid the price for you, then rose again for you. Just telling you, he's available here. He wants to be in a relationship with you. That's what this is about. And if you're honest here this morning, you say, man, Kyle, that's me. I know I need Christ in my life. Unashamed, I'm just going to ask you in just a moment to raise your hand. Then all of us as a church are just going to pray and agree together. We're going to pray this prayer together. But come on, I want you to be bold for God. Come on, the count of three. If that's you, I want you to slip your hand up all over this place. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Come on, say, man, that's me. That's me. That's me. Yes, yes, yes. Proud of you. Awesome. Yeah, yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Come on, church. Now let's pray. Let's pray with these. Come on, if you've raised your hand, just pray this after me. Just say, Jesus, I give you my heart. My life is not my own. I give it to you. I repent of my sins. Thank you for cleansing my sins away and bringing times of refreshing to me. God, thank you for loving me. And I am who you say I am. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, I think for about 15 seconds, can we just give Jesus the highest praise? A bunch of people made decisions. Come on, for what God has done, amen. We love you, Lord. We bless you, God.